Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of Philippians this morning, to Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And just kind of keep it there, because I'm going to read a few other verses in that passage. Past 4 weeks, I've been preaching a series called Stand On It, talking about the Word of God. And I don't know, you know, maybe it was just Hans, but I'm telling you, it blessed me so much, man. It's some of those old principles that we've known for years. If you've been in church for a while, you should know about praying the Word, standing on the Word, declaring the Word. But anyhow, I just needed to hear it again, and a lot of you came up to me and told me how much it was a blessing to you. I preached about the power of the Word, the power of Scripture, praying Scripture, and then declaring God's Word over our lives. So I hope you're practicing that at home and declaring the Word, declaring Scripture, and just speaking things, speaking it out. Amen? So in line with that, I'm going to deal with something today that really mirrors that, and it's also dealing with the power of our speech, the power of our words. And I'm just going to make a little pre-statement here. I'm preaching on Hans first. So don't think I was thinking about you guys when I'm putting this message together. No, I'm preaching the Word, and I'm preaching on Hans, number one, but I believe it's going to hit every one of us in here. And I'm gonna preach a series, and I'm shamelessly stealing this title from Craig Rochelle called My Big Fat Mouth. And I'm going to deal with four things. Number one is complaining. Number two is criticizing. Number three is lying. And number four is gossiping. We want to eliminate these enemies from our lives, because I've seen these four enemies take people out in church, take them and just neutralize their effectiveness in the kingdom of God, and I don't want that to happen to you. Amen? I want you to be fired up and ready to go and ready to give an answer to everyone who asks. Okay, let's read let's read Philippians 2. Do all things without... Does the Bible really say that? Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Do all things without complaining. Do all things without yeah, but Brother Hans, you don't understand. When it comes to this certain part, I got to complain a little bit. Do all things without complaining. He didn't say do some things without complaining. Man, I'm preaching myself right into a ditch right now. Do all things without complaining. Can somebody say amen? Did you hear about the guy who wanted to join a monastery? He went to this real strict monastery where you couldn't speak, you know. And the rules of the head monk gave him the first day, said, you must take a vow of silence, and you can only say two words every 3 years. So the first 3 years passes, and the guy goes and meets with the head monk, and he says, what are your two words? He says, food, cold. 3 more years goes by. The head monk asks him again, sir, what's your two words? He says, robe, dirty. 3 more years pass, and he comes in and he says, what's your two words? And he says, I quit. The head monk replied and said, I'm not surprised. You've done nothing but complain ever since you've been here. When I think about complaining in the Bible, I think about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt in the Exodus. And I think about them because they got in the middle of the desert and they really began complaining. And I'm telling you, complaining destroyed them. It absolutely destroyed them. Look at Exodus chapter 14, verse 1. Then they said to Moses when they got out in the wilderness, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Hey, Moses, are there not enough good places to bury us in Egypt instead of bringing us out here to die? Now you think about it. These guys had witnessed miracle after miracle after miracle. God had sent Moses as a deliverer to them. He opened the Red Sea for them. He turned the water into blood of the River Nile for them. He killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians for them. He protected them by the Passover lamb and blood over the door. On and on and on and on. God had blessed and blessed and blessed. Yet, still yet, they were complainers then. They were complainers in the wilderness. But Moses digs a little bit deeper in them in Exodus chapter 16, and he uncovers the real target of their complaints. Moses said, "This shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening." Because they were complaining, "We have no meat. We've been eating this stinking bread." Well, the bread was from heaven, and it appeared every morning. All you had to do is go out and pick it up. Didn't have to go to Food Line, nothing like that. It was just laying there for you. But they started complaining about it. Then they wanted all this kind of stuff, you know. Okay, so "this shall be seen when the Lord gives you meat in the evening and in the morning bread to the full. For the Lord hears your complaints which you make against him. And what are we? Your complaints are not against us, but against the Lord." They were complaining against Moses, but Moses said, "Your complaints aren't against me, guys. Your complaints are against the Lord." Can everybody say, wow? So what do you complain about the most? "I wish I was married." You got married and now... I had to do that again because it's so good. But you don't have enough money. You know, your job's horrible. Your boss is a jerk. Weather's bad. I have DirecTV with 800 channels and can't find anything to watch. I don't know, we can just complain and complain. Could it be that DirecTV is not your problem? I'm just asking you now, could it be that your husband or wife is not your problem? Could it be that the weather isn't your problem? I mean, it is for some people, but maybe it's not. Could it be that we've taken our eyes off of the goodness of God and we've made ourselves the center of our universe? Could that be the issue, that we've taken our eyes off the goodness of God and we're just looking at all that is about me? And when we do that, it can lend itself to really placing a curse on us. I'm going to call it a curse this morning. And it's called the curse of constant complaining. The curse of constant complaining. You know, researchers have discovered that whining has been scientifically proven to increase stress and anxiety in your life. Sour moods, it lends itself to more negative thinking and it hampers your progress towards solutions. So why do people do it? Well, many reasons, but some people do it because they love being a victim. I don't know if I've ever quoted Sigmund Freud in a sermon, but I'm going to right now. Freud said neurotics, that is people with psychological issues, complain of their illnesses sometimes, but they make the most of it. And when it comes to taking it away from them, they will defend it like a lioness her young. So could it be that we complain sometimes because we've made ourselves the center of our universe? And that sometimes we like complaining because it pulls someone else in. And it pulls them in. It usually just pulls in weak people, though. I hate to tell you that. But it usually just pulls in weak people into your circle of yapping and complaining. And then you all just get down together. How low can you go? And you all just get down negative together. We're going to break that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, be gone in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. The opposite of that, I would say, was the Apostle Paul. If we look at Paul's life, he went through a lot. He went through so much he could have complained about. If you had looked at his like bucket list, the number one thing on Paul's agenda that he wanted to accomplish in his life, at least one of the top was, I want to go to Rome and I want to preach the gospel in Rome. He writes about it, even in his letter to the Romans. He says, I want to go from Rome, and basically from there, I want to create a ministry base, and I want to go to Spain and preach the gospel in Spain. And some scholars, you know, believe that he actually accomplished that. But nonetheless, he wanted to go to Rome. However, he wanted to go as a preacher. not as a prisoner, but he ended up going as a prisoner. I mean, could you imagine? He goes into Jerusalem. You know the story. He goes into Jerusalem in the book of Acts, and he's there for good purposes. He takes Timothy with him, and he is taking care of all of his bases to try to make sure he's not arrested. He had already been let down in a basket years ago in Damascus so people wouldn't kill him. Then the disciples told him basically leave Jerusalem after that because they were afraid they were going to kill him. So this man had been had a target on his back for years. But when he came back to Jerusalem, this time he's arrested. And then it leads to this long process, him going to Caesarea Philippi, and eventually going to Rome because he appealed to Caesar. So now he's chained to a Roman soldier, put on a boat where they get shipwrecked. He's already been beaten. He's already been thrown out and left for dead on the outside of the city. He's already been chastised. He's been confronted, come on, over and over and over and over. He's been without. He's gone hungry. On and on and on. Could he not have said, Lord, I've been doing a lot for you, and this isn't fair. I mean, at least put me in the Marriott in Rome. I mean, at least give me cab fare there, if not fly me in. Come on. I've been preaching. I've been sacrificing. I've been giving all this to you, and this is how I get to go? He could have done that. He could have just complain. Food's bad. Floor's hard. Roman soldier stinks. I'm chained. What? I mean, it could have gone on and on and on. But instead, he writes what we read when we first began. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. He set the standard high. He set the bar high. Whatever you do in word, in deed, do without grumbling and complaining. There's a guy named Travis Bradbury who wrote a book called Emotional Intelligence 2.0. And in the book, he says actually that repeated complaining hardwires the brain to do more complaining. That is, the more negative you are, the more likely your brain is going to be triggered to continue to be negative. You'll expect the bad, and then you'll get what you expect. Constantly looking for something to complain about, and if you constantly expect that and constantly look for that, I can guarantee you, you will find what you're looking for. And you're miserable to be around, by the way. Because we just complain and complain and complain. And I realized this recently in my life. I'm like, Hans, you're complaining too much. You need to stop it, dude. Self. You can speak to yourself, right? Soul. The psalmist spoke to his soul. Magnify the Lord, oh my soul. Self, shut up and stop complaining. I just thought about it because I notice how when we complain, even in my life, if I have someone around me and there's something kind of irritating me and I start talking about it, I can usually bring you into it. And that's the human nature, the fallen man that kind of wants to do that. So you can get over here. Don't you agree with that? Yes, we agree with that together. And we just... I want to train my mind to look for the positive. I want to train my mind to look for blessing, not to complain. I want to train my mind to give God praise even in the smallest things. Because even the bad stuff, He's brought me through for His glory. Even the stuff that didn't turn out like I wanted it to, He brought me through it, and I'm better off because of it. Hallelujah. Even the stuff I failed in. Even the stuff I failed in, God has brought me through and has turned it around for His purposes for the good. Can somebody shout amen? So look at your neighbor and say, listen up. Stop complaining. And if you're sitting next to your spouse, I give you permission to say that right now. And I hope you're not knocked in the head before this service is over. So here's the deal. If you're a complainer, here's where we're going to go. Two things you can do about it. Number one, if there's something to complain about, then change it. Change the circumstance. Then change the circumstance of what's going on. If at all possible, bring your A game to it, put your brain on it, and start to change the situation. I think of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah went back to Israel and he saw the city of Jerusalem was burned and he saw the gates were falling down and they were crumbled and in just rumbles. What did he do? He started changing the situation. He went to get the supplies. He went to get the favor of the king on and on and on. And he started rebuilding what the enemy had torn down. Instead of complaining, he said, I don't have time to complain. Even the enemies came out and taunted them. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to work with a trowel in one hand. And we're going to work with a sword in the other. And then the enemy comes to taunt him, does he not? Come down. This is ridiculous. What do you think you're doing? He's like, talk to the hand because the face ain't listening. I got something to do for God. And I ain't got time to be carted off in your corner to talk about your junk. Come on, somebody. Change it. Somebody shout, change it. Don't complain about it. Don't go on Facebook and complain about it. Well, just keep changing it. I hate people that get on and you know, you talk about politics, man, but you didn't vote. If you voted, let's talk all we want to. But if you didn't vote, you have no authority to talk. It's like people we found, oh gosh, I'm on live stream right now. Y'all love me anyhow? We found out some of the biggest complainers in church through the years don't tithe a dime. Well, if you want to change it, change it. Don't just complain about it. Number two, what if you can't change it? What if the circumstances are out of your control? Then you need to change your perspective about it. If you can't change it, then change your perspective. Say it with me. Change my perspective. And you change your perspective in a couple ways. Number one, you change the way you think about it, and you change the way you talk about it. So number one, change the way you think about it. Start seeing these issues differently. And start looking at them as opportunities for God to move instead of it's all over and this is doomsday. Ruby, my mother-in-law, was telling a story the other day of her cousin who she grew up with and lived with, and then they lived next to each other and raised their families together. And she was diagnosed with cancer, her cousin. And she's still living today in her upper 80s. And this was probably when she was 30s or 40s. She was diagnosed with cancer, and she told Ruby, she said, this is what I'm being diagnosed with. Now we'll never speak of this again. Don't mention it in my presence, and it's going to die if I don't talk about it. Ruby said the rest of her life she never mentioned it. And it left her. Now, I'm just telling you a story. But I was thinking what I would do. Oh, gosh, get on the phone, man. And just read every article I can and get right down in the mully grubs with it and just talk about it. My God, what? And I'm not just being light on this. I'm really getting to a spiritual principle here. Sometimes I think we just feed stuff by our words, and we feed stuff by our friends, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. When we need to start thinking differently and speaking differently about those issues in our lives. Notice what Paul said after those two verses I read in Philippians. He said, yes, and if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all for the same reason also. Be glad and rejoice with me. What's interesting here is a couple things. He says, I'm being poured out as a drink offering. And this term, if you look at the original verbiage, I don't think he's talking about at his death. Like, I'm going to be martyred and I'll be beheaded and I'm being poured out. I think the way it is verbiage-wise, that he's talking about his daily life. That every day I'm being poured out to God. And I consider it every day to be worship to God, because the drink offering has Old Testament roots. And the drink offering in the Old Testament was when someone would come and bring a very precious drink they had. It could be honey that was precious to them. It could be wine they had in their house or whatever. And they would pour it out to God as a sacrifice and offering. And so I think Paul is saying my daily life is an offering unto the Lord, is a sacrifice unto God. In other words, I'm worshiping 24/7. Because worship isn't just what we do here on Sunday mornings. Worship is what we do 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's our life giving expression of our faith, pouring out our hearts to God, putting it all out there. And he's saying, I am being poured out as a drink offering to God. I am being poured out. In other words, I'm not the center of my own story. I'm not the center of my universe. It isn't all about Paul. It isn't all about me. And it isn't all about my preferences. It isn't all about I've got a degree and I've been the greatest of this and I was a Pharisee. I could boast all that. But you know what? I consider it absolute garbage now he said that. It's not about me. Come on, somebody say it. It's not about me. It's all about him. He learned that my life is not about me complaining on how things are not going for me. He changed his perspective and he started to see the goodness and blessing of God through everything he went through. He was chained to a soldier, but what are you chained to? Are you chained to a financial problem that's just a burden? Or are you chained to a broken relationship? Or are you chained to a job that you hate and you're just complaining and complaining and complaining? Well, you know what? Let's just stop it and let's start praising and praising and praising in spite of the things I don't like. Change the way you look at it. Change the way you think about it. Change the way you speak of it. And Paul said, if I am being poured out, if everything is really oozing away from me, if everything that I want to accomplish does not come to pass, if I have a bad report from the doctor, or if something is going wrong in my life, yet I will still praise Him. And I'm still going to give Him glory, and I'm going to give Him thanks because I'm changing the perspective of how I view this thing. Can somebody shout amen? And then there's another thing to add into this, changing the perspective, and that is how you speak to those situations you walk through. You say, what do you mean, Hans? I don't believe in that speaking to stuff. No, you're speaking about it all the time already. You're already speaking words over your situations. You're already calling them. You're naming them. You're confessing. You're declaring stuff about them. Kent Christmas was here, I think a couple years ago, and he taught us this. He said, you know what? We need to start naming our trials and naming our circumstances. If we don't have the power to change it, we can name it and call it something different. Hallelujah. Think about the life of Jacob. And I never really looked at this passage this way. But Jacob betrayed his brother, stole his birthright. Then he went and deceived his father, and he stole the blessing from his brother. And once it was discovered, his brother was irate and his brother swore to kill him. So what happens? His father already knew that he had given the blessing. So he calls the son in and he says, hey, you go now, go back to our people and go find you a wife from our people and get out of here. And he blessed him and he walked. And so Jacob is running. He's running from his brother. He's deceived his brother. He's deceived his dad. And he's running for his life. And then he comes to a place, and he sleeps in a place one night, and angels of God appear, and he sees a vision from the Lord. And I never saw it as a negative place, but I'm looking at it differently now. It was in a time of great turmoil in his life. Yeah, he had the blessing, but he cheated for it. Yeah, he had the birthright, but he cheated for it. And now he's running with his brother, who's a hairy man who knows how to hunt. He's got to pick up shotgun four-wheel drive and a country boy can't survive. He's got all of that going on. And he's running for his life. And so what does he do? He has a visitation from God and he stands up. And the Bible says, he says, I was afraid. And I'll call this place Beth-El. For surely God is here. And he named that difficult place Beth-El, which means the house of God. Could you look back at places you've come through in life and rename them? Because you see, some of us come out of trials and we wanted to get as far away from that as we could. We never want to talk about the trial we came through and the people that hurt us or whatever. But maybe we need to turn around and rethink it and start naming it something different in our lives. And start calling it a blessing, or the time God taught me something. The time God showed up when I didn't know which way to go. The time God visited me when I didn't have an answer for my life. I'm going to call it a blessing in my life. See, I've learned something else about church culture. And that is when people come into church from other churches and they are critiquing and cursing the last pastor. I'm next. But I've also learned if people come and they've come to grips with their past and they've called it done and they've blessed the place that they've left, I'm next. Because they're going to bless this place too. Sure, we can be dissatisfied and sure the Lord moves us around, but we don't have to get negative and curse the barren places and curse those places in our path. We can speak blessing and say, God, you sure taught me something. I'm never going back there again, but I bless them in Jesus' name. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, look behind you and just say, I'm going to bless that that's behind me. And I'm going to bless that that's in front of me. Come on. I'm going to bless that that's in front of me. The psalmist did that, did he not? He could have complained. He was in so many dire straits. But he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. And then he just starts listing a litany of blessings. And forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities and heals all your diseases and redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness, satisfies your mouth with good things, and so that your youth is renewed. I mean, he's just listing them. Could we not do that about our lives as well? Could we not start listing the blessings in our lives instead of complaining about the few things that are going wrong? I'm just working and challenging and prodding you this morning. Could we not start blessing and saying, God, thank you for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for this, and thank you for that, and start making a litany of just blessings that God has given us? It works with marriages. It really does. You remember a few years ago there was a Christian movie that came out, and whatever it was called, Fireproof. And then based on that was this love challenge. There was this love dare. Thank you. Basically what the love dare was I knew a lot of guys that did 40 days. You just do something good every day for your spouse. One day you bring them flowers. Next day you take them to dinner. Next day you wash the dishes. On and on. And what they started noticing was that focusing on the positive for 40 days shifted that marriage. It shifted to the positive and rearranged the marriage. So instead of saying, why didn't you take the trash out? Why do you squeeze the toothpaste instead of roll it up like it's supposed to be done? Why do you put the toilet paper on the wrong side out or just leave it? You don't even put it on at all. You just leave it hanging up there somewhere. I mean, why do you snore? Why do you want it cold? Why do you want it hot? Why do you like football? And why do you like HGTV? Come on, why do you? And if we feed these things, complaining becomes the major environment of our homes. And then we inject that DNA into our children. And they grow up looking to complain to somebody for 50 years of marriage. Marriage isn't about, I'm going to get a complaining partner. Yes and amen. No, it's about you get a partner to help you through life to conquer and accomplish and do the will of God. One puts 1,000 to flight, two put 10,000 to flight. You have a you have an anointing that teams together, and you're greater together than you are apart. But if you constantly complain, it was so quiet in the 9 o'clock service, I thought I was at a funeral, man. I'm telling you, it was like. Come on, say, change it. Speak to it. Think differently about it. Come on, change it. Speak to it. Think differently about it. Because when we know there's change to happen, sometimes we just complain about it instead of do the change. Why do those weeds grow in my ditch like they do? I don't know, man. So we sit around. Man, it's rained a lot. Did you see how high the weeds were? Pass me the TV control. And instead of firing at, see, I'm preaching on Hans now. That way I'm not offending any of you. This is all toward me right now, like I'm preaching into a mirror. So instead of, like, doing something about it, there's just a certain level of satisfaction to sit around and complain about it. And I know it's wrong. But when we complain, we start preconditioning ourselves to do nothing about it and to be negative about it, and then we spoil the atmosphere for everyone else around us. I'm not going to Fountain Lot. Fountain Lot's a big church. I don't like big churches. Okay, pastor doesn't wear suits. That's not right! They turn the lights down and worship. My God, can't they pay the light bill? And you pre-wire yourself. Then when you walk in, it's like, told you. How about let's like do a beam me up, Scotty, and take you to another planet for a moment. A planet where people don't own a suit. Where I guarantee you, I could ask the number of guys in this church who own a suit, and I guarantee you there's a handful probably, dude, that's it. And people told me they've been set free the way I dress. How about us turning the lights down so people can absolutely get before God alone, so people aren't watching them and sitting on a back row judging how they worship? I can tell you people have come to me and said, Pastor, thank you. I get in there and I feel the presence of God. I've never felt it like that in my life. I feel it when I come on the parking lot and I worship with everything in my heart. And I could go on and on and on. But if I only listened to the complainers, I would be in 1950 trying to reach people in 2018. And I would be as irrelevant as a cassette tape. I'm just being raw and honest. Let's start thinking of it differently. My gosh, there's thousands of people out there who need Jesus. I'm telling you, my neighbor needs Jesus. I'm telling you, the folks at the school need Jesus. The people on my work need Jesus. And it ain't about me defending my universe and doing church as I've always known it, because grandma and granddad had it right, bless God. And if the world wants to get saved, they're going to have to come down that way. And let me tell you something. We ain't compromising truth, but I want to save some souls. That's what my whole life is about. It's what I live for. That's what I work for every day of my life. It's about seeing people come to Jesus. And God bless, we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep seeing people saved and keep seeing people set free. Why? Because we're going to step out of our boundaries and stop complaining and start blessing our city, start blessing our church, and start blessing our neighbors, and start blessing those around us who work with us. Can somebody shout amen and get excited in this church this morning? Come on, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hand. Let's just point this way. Point this way toward Elizabeth City. Father, we bless Elizabeth City right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we bless this city. We declare, come on, we say it after me. We declare Elizabeth City as God's city. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, stretch your hands out this way. We declare blessings over our county. And we declare this county God's county. Now you shout the county that you live in. We declare those counties right now blessed. And we declare them God's counties in the name of Jesus. Come on out here, Will. Come on, I'm not going to embarrass you, bro. Will works for the police department in Elizabeth City. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Let's put our hands toward Will. We declare the police department blessed. We bless the chief. We bless all the people in charge. We bless everyone out there working the streets. Pray the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, Justin. Come on out here, bro. I'm not going to embarrass you. Hey, you need to pray for this guy. He's in Coast Guard Rescue Swimmer School right now. Come on, we're going to bless the Coast Guard. Come on, stretch your hand. Father, we don't complain that the Coast Guard base is in our county. We love it, Father. And we bless this brother and we bless the Coast Guard right now in the name of Jesus. And we just declare the best. Can somebody shout amen? Come on, Christy. We're going to pray over the schools. Come on. She teaches next door at Central Elementary. And come on, let's pray for the schools right now. Let's stop complaining and let's start blessing. Father, right now we bless the school system. We bless Central Elementary. We bless the superintendent. We bless those in charge. Hallelujah. And God, we pray. I just pray right now for revival to break out in the school districts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody can shout amen. We could keep going. Just keep blessing. Just keep blessing. Jackie and I ride down the road. I'm going to be country. We just holler a blessing. We just yell one out over some of you guys, some of your businesses, some of the players. Just holler a blessing out. Sometimes we pray God shut certain things down in our city. I'm going to be honest. We pray shut some stuff down. I pray it's like back in the Welsh revival where they just had to shut the bars down and had to shut the prostitution houses down. Why? Because nobody was left to go to them. They all got saved. Come on. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you're in here this day and you are a chronic complainer. If you are, don't be ashamed. Let's break that thing off of our lives right now. Come on, I'm confessing my faults before you. Let's break it off our lives. If you're a chronic complainer, let me see your hand. We're going to pray for you. Thank you, 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 guys. You can put them down. We're going to pray right now. Come on. In the name of Jesus, Father, we break this spirit of just wanting to find the negative all the time. We break that off of our lives right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray complete release. And I pray tonight that people start to see the blessings of God on their lives like they have never witnessed the blessings. I pray you visit them in dreams. I pray you show up, God, in their quiet time, God. And I just pray you do amazing things for them right now in the name of Jesus. How many of you in here could raise your hand and say, Pastor Hans, I'm not serving the Lord, but I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to turn it all to Christ. I want to give him everything I have and just say, Lord, I follow you. If that's you, let me see your hand. We're going to pray for you right where you stand. Hallelujah. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I'm here to see you brought into the kingdom. Thank you, guys. Is there another person that just says, maybe Pastor Hans, I've not been serving the Lord like I should. I used to go to church, but man, I've grown cold on that commitment, but I want to recommit my life and give him everything I have today. If that's you, let me see your hand. And we're going to pray for you in here right now. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all pray this with me. If we pray it all out loud, God's going to come and do something amazing in your life right where you stand. And all of us who already serve the Lord, let's pray it out loud with them because we're praying with our brothers and sisters right now. So let's pray. Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I repent of all my sin. Forgive me for the things I've done. Forgive me of all sin. I believe Jesus Christ is the Lord. And now, Jesus, I ask that you be my Lord. The world is no longer my Lord. Sin is no longer my Lord. But Jesus, you are my Lord. Help me to live this life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. In the name of Jesus we pray. In the name of Jesus we pray. Now let's turn this into a blessing, and let's give the Lord a great praise for these folks who just prayed with us. Hallelujah.
Hey, thanks so much for listening or watching the podcast of this service. I pray the word was a great blessing to you, and I know the word enriches our lives and transforms us. Romans says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we know that comes through listening to the word and putting the word into action into our lives. You know, I was thinking just recently that the greatest decision I ever made in my life, I made when I was 16 years old. I'd only been to church a couple times, but I had a period of my life where I come under a great conviction, and God was speaking to me. I didn't know it to be the voice of God at the time, but now, all these years later, I know God was calling me. So I responded by opening up the Bible. My parents had a copy of the Bible. I'd never read the Bible. I opened it up and I began reading one of the Gospels. And as I read, the stories of Jesus leapt off the page to me. And they became so vivid and so alive in my reading. And it pushed me, it caused me to call out to God in prayer. I asked the Lord to just forgive me of all sin. I remember praying, God, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I want to serve you. I want to be a Christian, whatever that means. And that's the beginning, and it's the greatest decision I've ever made in my life. If you're not serving the Lord today, and you'd like to make that decision and have that life transformation happen to you, you can do that right now, wherever you are. If you're driving in a car, if you're at work, if you're at home listening to this, you can make that same decision and begin with a prayer. Romans 10 says that we believe with our heart, but with our mouth, confession is made to salvation. So pray this prayer with me if you want to accept Christ into your life, and say it out loud wherever you are. So pray it with me. Lord Jesus, I come before you. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sin. Wash it all away. Take the guilt away and take the pain away. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. Sin is no longer my master. The world is no longer my master. But Lord Jesus, I receive you as my master. Help me to live this life. Help me to walk this journey. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And you can say amen right wherever you are. And you can even rejoice a little bit and say thank you, Lord, because I believe a great transformation has happened in your life. So if you'd like to join us again on a podcast, you can do that, obviously, through our social media sites or through the website. And please let us know if you've accepted the Lord into your life. We'd love to know. There's a way to contact us on our website and so forth. So until we see you next time, or until you hear us next time, God bless. And go forth and rejoice in the freedom that Christ has given you.